Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to everybody who is with us today. I have a message today that is called, Behold, I Come Quickly. Behold, I Come Quickly. Matthew 24, I want to start, verse 21 and 22. Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22 says, For there will be great suffering, such as not happened from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever will be. And except those days were shortened, not any flesh would live. But on account of the chosen, those days will be shortened. So I don't think before this last generation that anybody on the earth could have ever pictured how can everybody on the earth die, right? How can, you know, in wars, there's only so many people that can be killed in a war, and even plagues, there's only so many people that can die in a plague, you know, because people spread out over the earth. But here it's saying about if the days were not shortened, no flesh would say. And we're living in a world of chaos, suffering, war, famine, starvation, greed. And it's all we've known until now. You know, we've been born into this last generation, and that's all we've seen since our birth. So even though we know that the kingdom of Yahweh is true, it's hard to concept that after 6,000 years of man's chaos, that in a few short years, the kingdom of Yahweh will be here forever. So I want to start the message by showing you signs that we are in the end of the age, because as hard as it is to believe, there are people, religious people even, that say we're not even in the end time. And again, it's the normalcy bias because they just think it's always been like this, but it hasn't. So I'd like to show some signs for the end time. And then after that, show how quickly, you know, Yeshua's return can be. So Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he, Yeshua, was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, Tell us, when will these things be? Right? And what is the sign of your coming in the end of the age? No way of not, you know, it's very simple. When is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And which the very first thing he says in verse 4 and 5? In answering, Yeshua said to them, See that no man deceives you. So the very first thing he says in the end time, there is going to be deception and a lot of deception. And I know when I came into the truth now, just about 40 years ago, over 40 years ago actually now, time's going fast, that I thought the great deception was simply, you know, Christmas and Easter and these kind of things like that, you know, which is, there is a great deception in that because the whole world thinks they're religious holidays, which they're not. But the deception in the last 40 years has gotten so much more that now you really see that it's everywhere. You know, it's absolutely everywhere. And he says, For many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and they will cause many to be deceived. So the deception will be in the world, you know, of Satan. But it's also going to be in religious organizations. People claiming to, you know, be speaking in, you know, on behalf of Yeshua. And they will also be deceiving the people. There's always been deception before, you know, there's been persecution on the believers and deception, but never like we are seeing today, to the point of, you know, like I said, it's one thing of arguing is Saturday the Sabbath or Sunday the Sabbath, but to the point where you're getting millions of people denying that Yeshua is even the Messiah, that were Christian at one time, you know, and now are even denying that. So the deception only gets worse and worse and worse. And this is the first time, sign that he says, with something like the internet, you know, and now not just internet on a computer, which you're limited to how long you're on that computer a day because you could be out. But with the iPhone, that's why I say 24/7, that deception can come, that people are there. Never in the history of the world has there been such deception as we're seeing now, even to the point that people going back, this whole movement with flat earth, that the earth is flat. Can you imagine? You know, like after Christopher Columbus, you know, sailed over to the New World in 1492, and you think, okay, we finally solved that, and 500 years later, when the world has become a very small place with airplanes and trains and all other kinds of mass transit, and we're back to some people believing that the earth is flat. The rotating Sabbath, that the Sabbath is not the seventh day of the week, but rotates according to the moon. I've went into all these things before. And the big one in the last year or two is the Enoch calendar. Many people getting into the Enoch calendar. And very clearly, I went over this in the Bible study. I'm not going to go over much today. The calendar is a lunar solar calendar. It is not just a solar calendar. So you can easily prove that from Scripture. But we're seeing this. And it's the tip of the iceberg. You know, now with AI that is just really starting to scratch the surface, you know, you see all these things with... I remember it was a couple of years ago, right before the Queen had died, that they made a video that was supposed to be the Queen. It wasn't. It was through AI, you know, one of those deep fake things. But that's what we're looking at today, that anything can be faked and anything, you know, the deception that's there, who would have ever thought? 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 3 says, do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because that day, the day of Yahweh, will not come unless first there comes a great rebellion, a falling away, a rebellion. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So same thing saying there, you know, that in the Laodicean era, Laodicean ruled by the people, there's going to be a great rebellion and a great falling away. And drop down to verse 8, and then the lawless one will be exposed, whom our master Yeshua will consume by the spirit of his mouth and will destroy by the brightness of his presence. And like I said, remember from Genesis, Yeshua, all he had to do was speak the world into existence, right? And it happened. And that's what he did. And verse 9 there. His coming is due to the working of Satan in all power and miraculous signs and lying wonders and in all deceit of unrighteousness, and those who will perish because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. And because of this, Yahweh will send them a working of deception for them to believe the lie. So this is what happens, you know. There's people out there that have some truth, right? It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So everybody has some truth. Some people have 50% truth and some people have 50% error. Some people have 75% truth and 25% error, and some people have 90% error and 10% truth. You know, so everyone has some degree of truth in error, right? But here it's saying because they didn't love the truth, and that's the point. When you start your walk, right, nobody at the beginning of your walk, you're never there, you're never knowing everything. You grow into the grace of and knowledge of Yeshua Messiah. So as time has gone on, and that's the reason I always say I believe the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem has the strongest doctrine of any congregation I've seen, because we've made the changes where we saw them. You know, we're willing to sit down and reason. We're willing to look at from the Bible and discuss, like Yahweh says, let us reason together. And if we're wrong on an issue, we'll say, okay, you know what? Let's change. Like the crucifixion. You know, that most Sabbath keepers for 100 years have believed the crucifixion was on a Wednesday, but you can't prove it from Scripture. And now through technology, you know, we clearly know. All you have to do, you can easily look up any day of any year, you know, from Adam till today. And we know that in 30 AD when the crucifixion happened, it was on a Thursday, it wasn't on a Wednesday. So you've got to be able to let the truth guide you and not tradition. You've got to be able to, you know, allow the spirit of Ruach, the Ruach of Yahweh, to change you where you're wrong. Or what's going to happen here, like he says, because they did not love the truth, Yahweh allows a spirit of deception to come on them. And I've seen people, even a few elders, that fell away, and now they're not even considered believers. I've seen, you know, elders that actually deny Yeshua's, even the Messiah, deny his pre-existence, you know, falling into every kind of heresy because they didn't love the truth, you know. And that's where we got to be careful. And because of this, Yahweh will send them a working of deception for them to believe the lie. And what's the lie? The lie that the New World Order is trying to tell them is that mankind can create life without Yahweh. They don't need Yahweh to create life. That human beings believe they can create life without Yahweh. And they think through AI that they're going to be able to live forever. You know, that they're going to be able to do this and have eternal life without Yahweh. And like I said, unfortunately, it's even some Sabbath and sacred name people believing in false doctrine, divorce, you know, fake calendars, fake books of the Bible. You know, the book of Enoch is running rampant now. And again, there's no language, there's no alphabet in the time of Enoch, so how can he write a book? It's just utterly ridiculous. But people, they you can't, with a lot of these people, like what happened with COVID, that the deception gets so great in their life that you can't reason with them anymore. Because they're not thinking logical. They're not thinking logical, and Yahweh gave them over to a spirit of deception because they don't love the truth. Matthew 24, let's go back to Matthew 24, 6 through 8. For you are bound to hear of revolutions and rumors of wars. Watch out and do not be disturbed, for it is necessary that all these things happen, but the end is not, but it is not yet the end. And that's what we're seeing now, right? We're seeing revolutions. We're seeing the wars going on, like in Ukraine and Russia and different places that are happening. In our own backyard with our brethren, with Rwanda and Burundi, and now with Congo, and all different places we're seeing wars and rumors of wars that are happening. Even President Trump keeps saying, you know, we're on the verge of World War III. So we're seeing these things, but he says the end is not all at once. So it's not all going to happen. We know it's over years, you know, the end time period that started in 1945. Now we're in the very end of it, and we're either in the last 7 years or going into the last 7 years. We're probably in it already. We'll find out in the next 2 years, but we're very close. We're very close, you know, to, let's say, between 5 and 10 years, somewhere in that time frame. And I don't know exactly, what if it's 4 years, what if it's 12 years, but somewhere in that short time frame that we're in of the kingdom of Yahweh coming. Because I'm going to show you the scriptures where Yeshua says, once these things start, it's not going to be hundreds and hundreds of years like the Daniel 9 prophecy. It's going to happen very quickly. But when you're hearing the wars and rumors of wars like we're seeing now, it's not going to happen all at once, meaningly within a matter of days or weeks or even months, or maybe short months. It might be, you know, 70 months or whatever, but not a short matter of months. But all these things are a beginning of sorrows. And while everyone in the world sees that, anywhere you go in the world, any people you talk to, they don't have to be religious, everybody sees there's something wrong, that things are not normal and things cannot sustain the way they're going. In just about every avenue of life, you know, and we're seeing other things. We're seeing things like the ecosystems being destroyed in the world, you know, all kinds of stuff that's happening in the atmosphere. And like it says, this is just the beginning of sorrow. Drop down to verse 32. But learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and it puts out leaves, you know that summer is near, right? So Yahweh uses the analogy of the seasons. He uses the analogy of the seasons. And like he's saying, when the fig tree becomes tender, you know the winter is almost over, the summer is near. So also when you see all these things, know it's near at the door. I say to you, in no way will this generation pass until these things have occurred. The heaven and the earth will pass, but my words will not pass away ever. So Israel being a nation again, Israel is the fig tree. And that was the very beginning of the end time, right? It started in 1945, at the end of World War II, when the nations came together trying to start with United Nations starting at that time, and the global banks, the International Monetary Fund, you know, and all these organizations that started in 1945, and then 1948, the fig tree comes again. Israel being a nation again, and like he says, all these things will happen in one generation. And I went over this many times, I'm not going to do it today. Psalm 102, right, where it says, the very people that went into the Holocaust will be, some of them will see the kingdom come. And there's not many of them left, you know, maybe 150,000 or left, or less. And they're older people, so we know there's not that much time left there. So Israel being a nation again after 2,500 years, what a sign. And yet, the normalcy bias. Where people just think like it's always been there, and it hasn't. Israel has not been a sovereign nation, you know, since the Babylonian captivity, you know, when that happened. But after, and the Bible tells us, 2,530 years, that Israel will gain their sovereignty again, and boom, it did. Isaiah 66 and verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen things like this? Shall the earth be brought forth in one day? Shall a nation be born in one step? For Zion travailed and also brought forth her sons, right? Can a nation be born in one day? Yes. Yes, a nation can. May 14th, 1948, Israel, the modern nation, is born again. So here it is, right? Only for 77 years now has Israel been a nation, a modern nation again. They have not been a nation for that long. And like it says, you know, if by strength 70 years, or by strength 80 years, so we'll see what happens in the next 3 years or so. But we know Israel is going to have troubles, you know, before the end. We know that Yeshua is going to come to save them. But May 14, 1948, Israel becomes a nation again. Then Daniel 12 and verse 4, one of the biggest scriptures showing the times we're living in now. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the end time. Many will travel back and forth and knowledge will be increased, right? So there's never been a time in history where people can travel. You know, you can go from China around the whole world and wind up in the United States in one day. In one day, you could travel 8, 10, 12,000 miles in one day. So people will be running back and forth and knowledge will be increased. Never in the history of mankind has been here just about 6,000 years, right? So we've seen knowledge. We've seen, you know, the wheel come from a rock and different things like that. But we've never seen what we're seeing today, where, you know, the technology that's come about is unknown. It's unbelievable. Knowledge has never been increasing as much as it's been now. 100 years ago, knowledge doubled about every 100 years. So it took 100 years or more for knowledge to double. Now it doubles every few weeks, about every 4 or 6 weeks or so. The normalcy bias takes this for granted, right? Because people don't think about it. They just live that way and think it's always that way, but it hasn't. But just think about this. Just 150 years ago, we didn't even have indoor toilets, electricity, cars, trains, radio, TV, internet. And now AI is the big one. And now humans are even trying to create life through it. So the world is changing. And, you know, I said this a little while ago where, you know, a lot of people, including myself, when President Trump won, were happy. I certainly didn't want Kamala Harris to win because they had many things really to push ahead with the global agenda. But President Trump so far has really gone with this global agenda. And Elon Musk, you know, naming Elon Musk, and like I said, with this Doge making it sound like, oh, we're cutting all these jobs, and you're wondering, well, if they're cutting millions of people's work, who's going to do the work and who's going to do it? AI. AI, that's the point of it. You know, that the world is changing very, very quickly. The digital money that's already there in most central banks, and soon it'll be there, the mark of the beast. And once that comes, then you pretty much know you've got only 3.5 years left till the return of Yeshua. But they already have it. The digital currency is already there. The fact that they haven't stopped using paper money doesn't change the fact that the digital currencies in most countries have already started. In America, it already has. Everything has gone through the central bank now. So maybe you're going out and using the credit card is the same way you did, you know, before, but you're not realizing no longer is that credit card being processed through your bank. Now it's all being processed through the central bank of the United States, the Federal Reserve. So, Daniel 12:4, you know, clearly it is, and he says, not until the time of the end, seal the book. Now the book is open. Anybody that hasn't seen, you can go online. I've done a whole Bible study throughout all Daniel. There's, you know, for months, 3-4 months, I did that Bible study, and they're all online. You could see them there. Back to Matthew 24 and verse 12. He says, because lawlessness will have multiplied, the love of many will wax cold. And, I mean, I'm only 60 years old, but in my whole life, I've never seen a time of such callousness that we see today, allowing people to get away with murder. Not that long ago, you know, I don't know how many months, 6 months, 8 months, whatever it was, a woman was burned alive in a New York subway because people were afraid to get involved. They literally sat there and recorded her being burned on their phones. And people will do that. They'll record people being murdered, raped, and all sorts of crimes, but nobody wants to get involved to stop it. And if you do, there was a guy, you know, what was it, just 2 years ago, whatever it was, who did get involved on a subway in New York, and they wound up arresting him. He almost came up with murder charges because the perpetrator, you know, he put him in a lock hold and he wound up dying from that. So people don't want to get involved because of it. Fist fights in airplanes, you see now almost every day, at least every week. I mean, can you imagine? You're going in an airplane, traveling somewhere, and the next thing you know, people are punching each other out. It's insane what we're seeing here. And in commercial Babylon, which is everywhere in the world, but starting from America, Babylon, everything is marketed. Every single thing is marketed for people. And as time is going on more, it's getting worse. And that's the whole reason why they want you connected to the internet 24/7 is to market you. They know everything about what you're spending, what you're doing, what you're watching. And subconsciously, they're marketing you 24 hours a day. And it is brainwashing. So the only way to stop it is staying off of that crazy stuff. And even religion. All religion is the same thing. The prosperity gospel, every single thing. The whole world is part of this commercial Babylon. And the whole world is being marketed by them. Revelation 12. The next sign here. Revelation 12. Verse 1 and 2, and a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman having been clothed with the sun, and the moon was underneath her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And having a babe in her womb, she cried, being in labor, and having birth pains to deliver. And drop down to verse 14, and two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished there for a time and times and half a time away from the serpent's face. So the Revelation 12 sign. And this happened September 23, 2017, right? And exactly like it says over here, you know, there's a great sign in the heaven. The virgin, Betrula, is clothed with the sun and on her midsection, the moon underneath her feet. She had a head of crown, a crown of 12 stars. There's usually 9 in the crown of the constellation, right? And 3 other planets. We're there in that constellation to make 12 stars. And she says, having babe in her womb, she cried. What happened? The king's planet, Jupiter, which was thousands and thousands of years through the Maseroth, has always been known as the king's planet, was literally in the belly, in the womb of the constellation of the Virgin for exactly 9 months. And on September 23rd, 2017, it came through the birth canal. It was birth. Exactly. I mean, like I said, you can't make this stuff up, and certainly human beings can't make that happen. You can't put a ladder up in the sky and try to move the planets and move the stars. I mean, Yahweh says exactly what's going to happen, and this happened exactly that way. So, wow. And then what happens right after that? The woman's given 2 wings of a great eagle that she may fly into the wilderness. And what happens right after this happens, the congregation goes to the wilderness. That's when Yahweh brings the congregation. Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 14. Song of Solomon is all about the bride in the end time, right? Going to a specific place that Yahweh has set out for her to take care. And it says, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secrecy of the steep place, in the clefts of the rock, what is the word in the Hebrew? In the clefts of Selah, in the clefts of Selah, in the secrecy of this deep place, let me see your form, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your form is beautiful. And it's amazing to me because, you know, I've been doing the school now for more than 20 years, and I didn't choose. You know, I had no plans to start a school. Yahweh told me to start it. And when he did, I had to make a list and say, okay, Father, if you want me to do a school, I'm more than happy. Here's what I'm going to need. He provided everything within a matter of months when I had no finances, no assets, nothing to do it. He provided a campus. He provided books, teachers. I mean, you name it, everything. And where did he provide it? That's another thing. I left it up to him. You know, I said, you want a father? You do it. I'm just a worker here. I'll show up and I'll teach and I'll do whatever you want me to do. He did it right on the Sea of Galilee. The very place, right? The very place in Kibbutz Gennesar where Yeshua called Peter and Andrew and the apostles and they found a boat. It says in the Good News that they left their boat and then they came and followed him. And 2,000 years later, we were living there in the kibbutz, our neighbor found that boat, found the very boat there, a 2,000-year-old fishing boat. Now, it didn't say Peter's name on it, so I can't tell you 1,000% that it was the boat of Peter, but boy, to find a 2,000-year-old boat exactly in the same spot where they left their boat, and that's where Yahweh set up and had me run the Bible school. Because it was a shadow, and it was taking over, it was just like what happened in the first century, it was happening now. But in the end time, right? In the end time is a whole different situation. The end time, we're in real-time situation now. The shadow of Israel that Yahweh showed us for the last 25 years, which is a great shadow and a wonderful shadow, and so many things to learn from there, but basically now has been taken over by the beast power, and Yahweh takes his people to the wilderness, right? And the very place that Scripture says in the mountain of Selah is the place that he opened up. I had no idea to go to Selah. You know, we're in Jordan, and a man comes up to me who is a Kenite, which says the Kenites are going to help the people in the end time, and tells me Yahweh told him to build a place for me, for our people. And here we are, right? So, wow, can you imagine? And we're doing our school there, and we're doing the feast there in the wilderness of Selah, right? And you know what's right underneath there? The eagle's wings. The eagle's wings that you could see right underneath from the Dead Sea are right underneath where Yahweh brought us. So, like I said, you can't make this up. You can't force it. Yahweh did all of it. But that is showing exactly like Scripture said, it's happening. So, again, for those that are Laodiceans and that don't have faith, man, you are always going to go by only what you can see with your eyes in Satan's society. And when something comes up and it looks like war, there's a storm out there, or there's an earthquake, you're going to run and hide, and you're going to shake like a leaf. But the next day, you'll be off somewhere else. It's the true people of Yahweh. It's the ones who truly believe. It's the ones who have faith, because it's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. They're the ones that are going to see this, and they're the ones that are going to follow and understand, behold, I come quickly, as we're going to see. That's what Yeshua says. You either believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible. But Yahweh has been doing these things systematically. He's been doing these things, right? He's been doing it one by one in fulfilling all these things for the last 75, 77 years. Actually, close to 80 years, if you count from 1945, when the UN and all these other things, global government, really started. So amazing. Absolutely amazing, right? Then Luke 21 in verse 7. Luke 21 and verse 7. And for those who've had the blessing of being with us for Sukkot, I say it in all sincerity, it will change your life. You've got to come out of this falsehood, right? He says deception. The world is deception. The minute you step out of your house, whether it's Babylon, USA, you know, or Babylon, South America, or Babylon, Europe, or Babylon, China, because Babylon is all over now, commercial Babylon, even though America is physical end-time Babylon and will be destroyed. They have brought this system everywhere. And when you come to the Middle East, whether it's where Israel, where we were for so many years, or now in the wilderness of Jordan, the real wilderness, and like I said, even going to Mount Sinai, going to Saudi Arabia, to Mount Sinai, it just opens up your mind to the reality of Scripture in a way that it never will. Because your mind is thinking a certain way from commercial Babylon. You were already programmed to think a certain way, and it's a wrong way. That's what he says. Beware of deception. And you're being deceived. As long as you're in that world, as long as you have a stupid iPhone and you're on the internet, I can guarantee 1,000% you're being deceived to one degree or another. But by coming to the Middle East, you're coming out of the deception and you're seeing reality. You're seeing reality, and Yahweh just is rocking work with you in a way that it can't inside of commercial Babylon in the world. And that's why he tells us we got to come out of that. We got to come out of that. So Luke 21 in verse 7 says, and they asked him, saying, Teacher, then when will these things be? And what is the sign when these things are about to happen? You know, it's just like we saw in Matthew. And look what he says, verse 22. He says, for these are days of vengeance when all things that have been written are to be fulfilled. Right? And like we said, it's going to happen in one generation. It's not a 490-year prophecy like Daniel 9. It's all going to happen in one generation and all things are going to be fulfilled. Drop down to verse 28. He says, but when these things begin to happen, and wow, they didn't just begin to happen, they've been happening for 77 years. Have courage and lift up your heads because your salvation draws near. Your salvation, your Yeshua. You know, behold, I come quickly. Your Yeshua draws near. And let me tell you something. The last 77 years have gone pretty quick. And these next few, whether it's 5 or 10 or even 15, I'm not making a prediction, but it's these last few years are going to go quicker than the first 77. I could tell you that much. And he spoke a parable to them. You see the fig tree and all the trees. Now, when they sprout leaves, seeing it, you will know from yourself that now the summer is near. So also, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of Yahweh is near. Truly, I say to you, in no way will this generation pass away until all these things have occurred. So not some are going to happen, all of it's going to happen, like he's saying there. The heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, never. But beware in yourself that your hearts never become heavy by extravagance and drunkenness and distress of the world, and that they should come upon you suddenly, will suddenly come upon you. And look what it says in verse 35. As a snare, it will come in on all those sitting on the face of the earth. And you know what that it actually says in the Aramaic? As a snare, it will, where it says come in on you, the word is literally a noose. It will literally noose you, right? So it's like a cow out there, you know, who's out there and he's just, you know, not knowing what's going on. The next thing you know, the noose comes around his neck and starts choking him. Or even worse, somebody that's being hung, right? One minute there's a noose there, and once they open up that bottom floor and it comes down, it comes on you quickly, and that's the end of your life. As a snare, it will be noosed. It will be noosed on all those sitting on the face of the earth. So the whole earth is going to get news. Then be watchful at every time, begging that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things, the things being about to happen, and to stand before the Son of Man. So that's the point of it. Yeah, it's a serious time, and it is work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And it is a time where we should be begging Yahweh. And the problem is people are too anchored into the things of the world. And we got to get our mind off of that, and we got to get our mind on that. It comes as a noose to all those blinded by commercial Babylon. The world system of commercial Babylon is controlling all human lives, even the food we eat, now since 1945. But we are to be separate and not buying every new device that America throws at us. So that's what you see. You know, that you look at the stock markets around the world, and it's all on theory. It's all on this one said this. Ooh, President Trump blew his nose the wrong way, and oh, the stock market went down 1,000 points, blah, 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 and all of this crazy stuff that the whole world is running on instead of the reality of the kingdom of Yahweh, right? So that's what we want to make sure. We want to make sure that for us, we're being awake, and it doesn't come as a noose around our neck. Ezekiel 7, because let me show you what's going to happen worldwide. It is going to be bad. It says it, the worst time the world ever known. And primarily in the Israelite nations, who are who? America and Europe, Australia, these different places, it's going to be the worst, right? Where the Israelites are. And Ezekiel 7, I'll read verse 1 to 11 and drop down to verse 17. It says, and it happened, the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, and you, son of man, so says Adonai Yahweh to the ground of Israel, an end. The end has come on the four corners of the earth. So why is he saying the ground of Israel? Because the Israelites are living in these places, right? So of course Israel is going to also get judged. But Israel primarily today is our brother Judah, who's living there. But the Israelite countries are going to be judged. And he says, an end has come on the four corners of the earth. The end is now on you, and I will send my anger on you and will judge you according to your ways and will lay on you all your abominations. And my eyes shall not spare you, and I will not have pity. But I will lay your ways on you, and your abomination shall be in your midst, and you will know that I am Yahweh. So says Adonai Yahweh, an end, an evil, and only evil, behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It is wakened against you. Behold, it has come. And the word kayetz, it's like the word that they use for late summer, like the changing of the season. You know, the end that's coming there. It is awakened. It's coming suddenly. The encirclement has come on you. That literally means like a turn of affairs. O dwellers of the earth, the time has come. The day of turmoil is near, and not a shout of the hills. Turmoil, noise, right? So, like it says, the feast of trumpets, the feast of chattering, the feast of noise. And this is very clear. No other time except the day of Yahweh is all this kind of stuff happening. I will soon pour out my fury on you and fulfill my anger on you. And I will judge you according to your ways and will put on you all your abominations. And my eye will not spare and I will not have pity. I will put on you according to your ways and your abominations that are in your midst. And you will know that I am Yahweh who strikes. Behold the day, behold it has come. The encirclement has gone out. The rod has blossomed and pride has budded. Then verse 11 says, violence has risen for a rod of wickedness. What's the word for violence? Hamas. Hamas, none of them will remain, even none of their multitude and none of their riches and none lamenting among them. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing Hamas being destroyed. So we're seeing part of the fulfillment of this scripture, but it's coming all over the earth. Drop down to verse 17. All hands will be feeble and all knees shall go as water. They shall also gird on sackcloth and trembling shall cover them. And shame will be on their faces and baldness on all their heads. They shall throw their silver in the streets and their gold will be an impure thing. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of Yahweh. They shall not satisfy their soul and they shall not fill their bowels and their iniquity has become a stumbling block for them. Wow. So very clearly here, no doubt you read this in context. You know, because Israel has already been in captivity when Ezekiel is writing this for more than 150 years, but he's writing to the house of Israel in prophecy, right? And the whole world. It's coming on the whole world that's coming. So, the day of Yahweh will completely destroy commercial Babylon. That is very, very clear. Ecclesiastes 1, 2 through 4. Ecclesiastes 1, 2 through 4. He says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What is the profit to a man in all the labor which he labors under the sun? A generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth stands forever, right? So what's the purpose of all this? Generation goes really, really fast, right? Your life comes, you're born, you die. What's the purpose of it? Drop down to verse 8. All words are wearisome. A man is not able to say it. The eye is not satisfied to see. Nor is the ear filled from hearing, right? That's human nature. That people striving for material things will never have enough. That which has been, it is that which shall be. And that which has been done is that which will be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there a thing of which one might say, see this, it is new. It has already been for the ages which were before us. There is no memory of former things, yea, nor is there any memory for them of things which will be afterwards with those who will be at the last. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, talking about Solomon, and I gave my heart to seek and to investigate by wisdom concerning all which is done under the heavens. It is an evil task Elohim has given to the sons of men to be afflicted by it. I have seen all the works which are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and that lacking cannot be weighed out. I spoke with my heart, saying, lo, I have become great and have increased wisdom over all that have been over Jerusalem before me. Yea, my heart has seen much wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I know that this also it is striving after wind. And in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases pain. Wow, because as you increase knowledge, you really see that it is vanity of vanities. All is vanity out there. Our lives go so quick. And if we only live them for commercial Babylon, it is really a useless life. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, it says, if we only have hope in Messiah in this life, we are of all men most miserable, right? So what good would it be? What good would it be to live this life and sacrifice everything and torture and everything as a believer? And that's the way we've been for 2,000 years, a tortured and sacrificed body, if there was no eternal life to come. You know, but there is an eternal life to come. That's the point of it. In commercial Babylon, it is vanity. But that's why we shouldn't be living for commercial Babylon. We need to be living for the kingdom of Yahweh. Because behold, he comes quickly. Yeshua is coming so quickly. And like I said, time will be no more. We're going to be eternal, immortal spirit beings. Where there'll be no time anymore. So these last few years that we have in time, don't just let them go by for vanity's sake and do nothing. Use it for the kingdom of Yahweh. Use it for that, because our life is going to pass one way or the other, right? And let's even say there was 50 years or 100 years left. Our life is going to go before that. You know, we're not going to live another 100 years. So these days that you have under the sun, don't just look at them as days of vanity in commercial Babylon. Use them. Use them for the kingdom of Yahweh. Use them for what we've been called for. Matthew 24, verse 14. Because what does Yahweh say in this whole corruption of you know, the end time? He says, and this good news of the kingdom will be published in all the earth for a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This good news of the kingdom will be published, and we've done it. We have sent out 40, 50, maybe up to 100 million Bibles, you know, that have gone electronically, you know, out. We've only, I don't know, maybe 30,000, maybe 40,000, 50,000 maximum that we've printed altogether. But it's in the millions, at least 50 million or more, that have electronically have gone out. And like it says, this good news will be published. So Yahweh blessed our congregation to be able to restore not only his name, but restore the book order. And there's an important reason why most Bibles that are being used by sacred name people, what they basically did was take the King James Bible and just change the name of Yahweh. That's okay. Okay, it's better to have the name of Yahweh and Yeshua there than have the name of Jesus and G-O-D. But I didn't do that. I went through this whole Bible word for word, letting the Ruach inspire me. Okay, it took me years to do this. Going over from the Hebrew and the First Covenant and the Aramaic and the Brit Hadashah, you know, the Hebrew and the Tanakh, and putting the Bible together the way that Yahweh originally had it in English, and having the book order, which is totally important for that. You know, we have a message online called The DNA of Scripture, which shows that, because there are sister chapters in the whole Bible, like DNA. So Genesis 1 goes with Revelation 22, Genesis 2 with Revelation 21, and it all goes like that. And they're connected. All of those are connected, but only if you have the right book order. So this is why we have such a job too, and it's not my job. You know, I have a job as the senior elder of the congregation in helping and nurturing, doing the schooling and all the things I do, having the hosting the feast in Jerusalem all those years and now in the wilderness. But I'm just one person. We all have this job together. We all have this job of being part of you know, the Elijah ministry, being the end time work of Yahweh, as do other sacred name groups and other people with the truth. You know, I'm not trying to say we're the only ones out there, but if we do have an important work, and this is what it is, our great purpose, our great commission in the end time is to help bring as many to salvation as possible. So this is what we have to do. Revelation 3, 7 and 8. Revelation 3, 7 and 8. He says, and to the messenger of the congregation of Philadelphia write, these things says the Holy One, the true One, the one having the key of David, right? And praise Yahweh that he used me to reveal the King of David in Jerusalem. The key of David, I'm sorry. The one having the key of David, the one opening and no one shuts, and shuts and nobody opens. If you're new to our ministry, listen to the messages we have on the key of David. I know your works. Behold, I've given a door being opened before you, and no one is able to shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. And here we are, a congregation with no big million-dollar building or big headquarters or don't have a lot of funds or anything else. And yet, our elders are going out all over the world preaching this good news and bringing the good news all over the world without begging for money, without charging for anything, and just by being faithful to Yahweh. If that's not a testimony, I don't know what is. Verse 10 says, because you kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you out of the hour of trial, which is going to come upon all the world in order to try those dwelling on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold what you have, that no one take your crown. Behold, I'm coming quickly. And like I said, the Philadelphia era, the Laodicean era, we're coming to an end. We're at the very end of this. We've proved it. We showed all the things that already happened. We showed the starting point of Israel being a nation, and the fact that Yahweh said that the same people that saw Israel become a nation in 1948 will be the same ones, at least two have to enter into the kingdom, like Joshua and Caleb. So we see that after 70, close to 80 years, we're coming to the end of this. And he says, behold, I come quickly, hold what you have, that no one take your crown. So this has to be your vocation, not vacation, but vocation. This needs to be your vocation. This needs to be. Yahweh is calling you, one out of 5 to 30 million people that aren't called, you are being called, and you have to do this. You have to do ministry. You have to bear fruit for His kingdom. The Philadelphia congregation still has agape love, and they're doing the work of Yahweh in the end time. And in the end, Yeshua will come for His bride, right? For His bride. And where are they going to be? They're going to be in Selah and other places all over the earth, not only in Selah, but Selah is going to be one of the places they're going to be. Matthew 24 and verse 44. Matthew 24 and verse 44. He says, because of this, you also be ready, for in that hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. Right? I've had some people say to me after President Trump was elected, because they thought, oh, wow, if Kamala Harris gets elected, boy, you know, we got a matter of hours maybe, you know, before she destroys the whole thing. But when President Trump was elected and it looked like everything was going to turn around and, you know, the golden streets of Gaza and all this other stuff, that, hey, maybe we have more time than we thought. And look what he says. Because of this also be ready, for in that hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. And you know what? I learned a long time ago, you can't predict it. What we have to do is just be doing the job of Yahweh and be faithful. And Yahweh's going to bring it when in His timing. Because everything is part of the timing. It's just not the kingdom coming. Everything is in a process. It's like cooking a recipe. And you have 15 things you have to do in the recipe. They just don't come together. And some of the things you have to do first, and then maybe you have to boil something, and then you have to let it sit for an hour, and then you have to put it in the refrigerator, and then you have to... It's a whole process. If you want the end to come out the way you want it to come out. And the end time is the same way. It's a process that has been happening, and now we're coming toward the end of that. So, man, for a lot of you wasted a lot of time, you know, and opportunities. You know, opportunities to be with the people of Yahweh, opportunities to, you know, come to a conference when we have conferences. That's why I try to travel all over the world, so that I can meet the people of Yahweh, that we can baptize people, that we can share. But you're running out of time. And he says, because of this, you also be ready, for in the hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. And the return of Yeshua may be a lot quicker, a lot sooner than any of you think. Matthew, okay, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master set over his household to give to them the food in season? Blessed is that servant who his master shall find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all he owns. So, to the Laodiceans, Yeshua comes as an hour not expected. But the Philadelphians are always expecting him, because they're doing his work. That's what they're doing. And when you're doing the work of Yahweh, it doesn't matter anymore. To me, it wouldn't matter if he was coming in 100 years. All I know is I'm doing his work every day of my life, and today could be the last day I have on this earth. I know, I'm a human being, I'm a mortal, I only have so many days on this life. So I want to work for him every single day, and I might be alive until the day of his coming, or I might not. But as the Philadelphian, he is always ready for it. He is always ready, because you don't know, every day could be your last on earth. So You can't keep putting off doing ministry for Yahweh because you're fearing of not being able to survive in commercial Babylon. You should be coming out of commercial Babylon, and then you don't have to worry about it. And that's why I say, now is the time, get rid of all those devices. Now is the time, get off the internet. Now is the time to do this, because once that hammer comes down and the mark of the beast comes, most people that haven't come out of the system by that time, they'll never be able to do it because it's addicting. It is absolutely addicting the way Satan has set all these things up. Like I said, the way those phones come in, and like I said, the articles are out now, the scientific proof is there, how it messes up the mind and it brainwashes the people, and literally those phones are like playing a slot machine. And the dopamine that's being and what it does to you, and it's addictive. It's absolutely addictive, like somebody that's a heroin addict, you know, and they can't get off it. So, man, now is the time to turn and to change. To the Laodicean, Yeshua is going to come when you're not expecting him, because they're never expecting him. Not to the Philadelphian. Matthew 25, a couple more scriptures. He says, then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went to a meeting of the bridegroom and the bride. Right? So Yeshua has his inner bride that he's with at Selah. And then he has the outer bride, you know, the bridesmaids and whatnot, that is still part of the bride, but he's coming now to the wedding. After the wedding nuptials, he's coming back to get them for the wedding supper. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Those being foolish, taking their lamps, did not take oil with them, right? They didn't listen to what I'm saying today. They're not working for Yahweh every day. They're not doing Matthew 24 project. You know, they're not doing it. They're not reading their Bible every day and praying, and they're not out there doing this. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. But the bridegroom, delaying, all nodded and slept. Right? So, some people thought that Yeshua would be returning 30, 40, 50 years ago. I remember in Church of God, 1972 was the big year. They had all these things, why that would be the year. But nope, the bridegroom, delaying, all nodded and slept. And look today, wow, most of those organizations are done. They're not even there anymore, or they're so far off, it's not even funny. And at midnight, a cry occurred. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go to meet him, right? And that's the ancient ceremony where in ancient Israel, that the bridegroom would go to the father of the bride, and he would say, you know, he wants to marry the bride, and he'd make the agreement, and then he would leave for around a year. You never really knew exactly when he was coming, because he would go prepare and set the life for the bride. And then there'd be a watchman that would be in the city waiting for the bridegroom to come back. And when he'd see the bridegroom come, he'd yell, "The bridegroom cometh! The bridegroom cometh!" And the bride would get ready, and all the people were ready because the wedding supper was ready to happen. And at midnight a cry occurred, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins were aroused and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, the rock, the Holy Spirit, for our lamps are gone out." Right? These are people that are just living for commercial Babylon, and their calling is nothing more than a show. That's basically what it is. They're making no sacrifice whatsoever of anything for the kingdom of Yahweh, and basically they're Laodiceans. They think they're rich and increased with goods simply by the knowledge that's been given to them, but they're not using it to bear any fruit. But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself," right? And these are people, sometimes, you know, I'll get people that will write me, and they'll ask me questions about this and that, and the first thing I say is, "Man, what websites are you surfing that you're even coming up with this? Be honest with me. You weren't praying or studying your Bible and you came up with this. You're searching in spiritual pornography. You're searching these evil websites, and you're coming up with these deceptions. And if you do it, you are going to be deceived, right?" And that's what he's saying. If you go to those who buy and sell, you know, and you're paying your $50 a month, you know, for the prosperity good news, this is what's going to happen. The bridegroom's going to come, and you are going to be shut out. "But as they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those ready went into him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the rest of the virgins also came, saying, 'Master, open to us.' But answering, he said, 'Truly, I do not know you. Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes.'" And stop trying to think to yourself, well, you know what? This hasn't happened yet. We got at least 3.5 years. We got at least 5 years. We got at least 7 years. We got at least... Don't be too sure. Don't be too sure. Yes, there are some things that have to happen in Scripture. Yes, Yeshua can't return tomorrow. There's things with the beast power and whatnot. But don't be too sure that he needs more than just a couple of years for all these things to come together. Don't be too sure at any point, whether they happen the next year or two or they start to happen in 5 years. Don't be too sure, because once you start to think, well, this hasn't happened yet, you know what? Maybe you're misinterpreting it. Or maybe it's not even there. You know, look at some of the things that some of these other churches believed in the past. You know, and then when you look into it, like Daniel 9, Daniel 9 is totally different than what most people believe what it's saying there. Totally different. It's about the anti-Messiah, and many of the Church of God groups were saying Daniel 9, the end of it, 24 to 27, the beginning is about the Messiah. That the end, they thought, was about Yeshua. When it's about the anti-Messiah, very, very clearly. So don't be too sure. But like he says here, therefore be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. The foolish did not prepare. We are toward the end of the road here, right? We are getting close to 80 years, and it's not going to go much further. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, in an acceptable time I heard you, and in a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait another day to start working for Yahweh. Stop putting all these crazy things in your mind of this and that, and simply do the work of Yahweh. He's called you for a reason, and fulfill the great commission that he's called you for. The foolish did not prepare, and the time is now, right? And like Luke 21 and verse 9, and when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not have fear, for they are necessary first to happen, but the end is not at once, all at once. It's not all going to happen at once. It is going to be a couple of years, but don't be too sure. We need more than that for all this to come together. Last scripture is Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Verse 6 and 7. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And Yahweh Elohim of the holy prophets sent his cherubs to show his slaves what must happen quickly. This is something that happens quickly. It's not something that's drawn out over hundreds and hundreds of years. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is the one keeping the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation is now open. It was a book that was written in the first century, but in real time. John was seeing it in real time. But it was closed until the time that it started in 1945, right, the end time. But now the book has been opened for the last, you know, 70 some odd years, you know, close to 80 years. And he says, I am coming quickly. Drop down to verse 10. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is at hand. The one acting unjustly will continue to act unjustly. And he who is filthy will continue to be filthy. And the righteous, let him continue to do righteousness. And he who is kadosh, let him continue to be kadosh. And behold, I am coming soon. I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give each according to his work. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? If you did, you'd be out there doing his work. Do you believe he has a reward to give you according to the work you're going to do? You know, or you're just living in commercial Babylon, scared to death of what's going to happen. You know, where's your next paycheck going to come from? Verse 20, the one testifying these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Yes, come Yeshua Yahweh. And that's the way it is in the original. Yeshua Yahweh. It's a family name. The grace of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with you all. Amen. The one testifying these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly. And he is coming quickly. When the book is opened, it said not to seal it. Don't seal the book. I just read it here. Do not seal the book, verse 10, because the time is at hand. The time is at hand, and it's happening before us. We've already seen, like I said, the Revelation 12 sign in the sky. That's why I went through all these things in the beginning of the message to show you. It's not in our mind. It's not one little thing. Everything is coming together in prophecy that Yahweh said. And now he's saying, do not close the book because the time is being fulfilled and the time is at hand. When the book is open, don't seal it because it all happens in one generation, like we said, and we're in the end of that generation. Then Yeshua returns. All things in the end time are happening, accumulating to the return of Yeshua. We have a job to do as the time is moving quickly. We must embrace our calling and the end time work that we have been blessed to be part of. Yeshua is coming quickly, and he will bring with him his eternal kingdom forever. And we want to be a part of that. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.